You're listening to TheBody.com's podcast coverage of AIDS 2008, the 17th International AIDS Conference. The conference took place in Mexico City from August 3rd through August 8th, 2008. Hi, I'm Miles Helfand, Managing Editor of TheBody.com. The 17th International AIDS Conference is as much about the myriad of events, protests, and meetings that occur outside of the conference center as it is about the conference itself. You're about to listen to excerpts from a speech given by UNAIDS Executive Director Peter Piot at a pre-conference event called The Invisible Men, Gay Men and Other Men Who Have Sex with Men in the Global HIV/AIDS Epidemic. The meeting was sponsored by the Global Forum on MSM and HIV.
It's good to be back and good to see that the forum that was launched in Toronto 2 years ago is alive and expanding. And I'm really proud that we are among your partners, as my name tag said. The last 2 years have been really seen a mix of real progress and also of some major drawbacks and regression in our struggle. And progress surely in terms of access to treatment in many countries and also in terms of reaching out to populations of men who have sex with men or gay populations, as our UNAIDS report showed. Although the report, in a sense, gives a bit of an over-optimistic image, a view of what actually is happening on the ground, because when we say that there is now like 50% of coverage of with prevention services and activities for men who have sex with men, that's based on the information that comes from the countries that report. You can only think about the countries that did not report, and I should say here, it's often high-income countries that do not report. And it shows also, I think, that we do know what works. North, south, east, west, whatever people may tell you. Latin America has shown already in the 80s, including here in Mexico. I mean, I see Juan Jacobo here sitting here. I mean, we have a few veterans after all. That in many countries where there have been really very successful, you know, programs with men who have sex with men. So we should make sure that, as we often do in AIDS, that we don't forget and that we are trying to reinvent the wheel there where the wheel is rolling and has been there for quite a while. But, as I will say also in my opening speech, the epidemic never ceases to surprise us. What we're seeing today in Asia, in about every single major city that we have looked at, China, in Malaysia, in Indonesia, you know, in Thailand, of course, Vietnam, there are epidemics of HIV among men who have sex with men. Epidemics that remind me of what we've been seeing in here on this continent, in Western Europe, in Australia, in the 80s. Just look at the figures and how fast HIV is rising in those populations. And it's exactly the same thing. But the response is not yet adapted to that or whatsoever. And we'll have to invent there, in the particular context, how to address that. We've also shown in studies that we've done in UNAIDS that here in Latin America, with a few exceptions like Peru and Mexico to a certain extent also, and to a certain extent Brazil, that funding for programs for men who have sex with men is disproportionately low. It's a terrible underfunding for programs. And this is where the epidemic is in most countries. And then something that, as a straight man, I really have a hard time understanding also, and that is that this obsessive homophobia that I find, which tells me that there's something going on in the heads of people over there that must mean that they're having a major problem with their own sexuality. There may be other explanations, but this is as far as I got in my No, I mean, I'm really, I come a bit everywhere in the world and I meet people like that, including in our own organization, in the UN system. But it is totally absurd, but it's also cruel. And I think that the title of this meeting is very, very, is only too apt. And I'm really more and more convinced that it is one of the, if I would mention, one of the top five obstacles to really stop this epidemic, that homophobia is in there, in all its forms. And that's where I think we need to probably have a more, let's call it, scientific, business-like approach to how to tackle that. And there are really fantastic programs, and I think here I would really like to pay tribute to Jorge Saavedra in Mexico and the government that supported it with this anti-homophobia campaign and the whole, you know, of the activist groups. But there are not too many countries where this is happening. And there are so many opportunities to do that. I think also that a growing number of countries, we may reaching a tipping point where working with men who sex with men becomes really possible and where we can go and see results. And that's, I think, that didn't happen by coincidence. It's a proof that some of our joint advocacy and insistence is bearing fruit. I mean, even if I don't, I thank you for that kind introduction, as they say, but I feel strongly that our accountability in UNAIDS is not only to governments. We do have members in our board, because the Program Coordination Board is my real boss. But it's, you know, the charter of the UN says that we the people. And so there is that kind of accountability also, but it's much harder to translate into governance structures, that's for sure. I think now that we're seeing also initiatives like the one I would really like to pay tribute to, and that's the AMFAR initiative, American Foundation for AIDS Research. It's really, AMFAR, I'm eternally grateful to AMFAR, because in 1985, I think it was, I got a grant to study something completely different within Zaire that was trying to demonstrate that there is something like transmission from men to women and women to men. But AMFAR now is pioneering this, supporting community action on men who have sex with men and against homophobia, and we've been very closely working with AMFAR, particularly in Asia. And also there are governments who care about this thing. Governments of the Netherlands, of Sweden, of Norway, do have specific funding. And I think that is also something that we should recognize, and we should probably try to establish some serious partnerships but thinking through what exactly can be done. This new context holds huge opportunities, but there are also challenges, and I know that you've been discussing this here at the meeting. Let me give you a few points, but before going into the 8 specific ones, let me say that in terms of my own view is that, okay, there is an AIDS-specific agenda, but there is also an agenda of gay rights. And I have been involved in that from way before UNAIDS even existed, and before there was an AIDS epidemic. And we will be nowhere with our AIDS activities if the gay rights agenda is not progressing. We cannot isolate that. We really have to resist this technocratic nonsense of doing an intervention here that's like, dealing with AIDS is not surgery. And that is why I really think that this connection between the AIDS response and the movement, by lack of better, I call it gay rights, you know, there may be other terms, that's really essential. And this is exactly the problem in many countries, because we are nowhere on this in many, many countries. But as is often often the case, AIDS is now opening a small opening in this wall of homophobia and legal obstacles of expressing one's sexuality. So a few points I'd like to make, and then I'll stop. So the first challenge that I see is, besides the connection with the broader agenda, gay rights, is one to respond to the diverse MSM communities and identities. And that knowing your epidemic is also true for knowing your community and all the nuances that exist in every society and across society. Secondly, is that we have an obligation collectively, where we can, to support the emerging gay groups, activities, MSM, etc. I'm not always good in these words, but that where we see it's emerging and that is happening now, we need to make sure that is not, killed in the, when it's just emerging. So that for me seems to be a real priority also from our side in the UN system. Thirdly, also there where we're still in the Middle Ages and in the darkest ages, we need to really develop some strategies where we have to be careful also that we're not only supporting, but also not putting always our colleagues at risk by doing what seems to be the obvious thing. But I'm thinking particularly of the whole of Africa, exception of South Africa, where we have a wonderful constitution, but the implementation is still an issue. The Middle East, we saw it again in Uganda during the implementers meeting and last week, how we need to make sure that we are also linking with a major human rights agenda when it comes to dealing with AIDS. And I was was last year in November in Managua at Concasida, and there were many sessions on MSM issues in the region, but also several ones on horrible violence, which is kind of structurally tolerated.
At the conclusion of his speech, Peter Piot then took questions from the audience. Here are his responses to several of those questions.
The first question, it was actually, I think, the British Medical Journal article you referred to by England. And he represents a certain way of thinking in the, of classic public health officials, 20th century, maybe the 21st century, just to remind people. And that is that, there's too much money going to AIDS. That money is taken away from other health problems. That if you work on AIDS, that you undermine health systems. And all you've got to do is to strengthen health systems, and then we will all be much better and everything will be solved. And it is, you find it also in the UK, the Department for International Development. There's a strong group in the World Bank also saying things like that. And in WHO also some people. And it's really a school of thought. This is, let's say the least, not evidence-based. The contrary is true. In countries that have been suffering from inadequate investments in health systems and health services, it is actually AIDS action that has demonstrated that there is a problem, and the only investments, the only action that has been taken to do something has been through the AIDS work. There is good evidence for that now. And I'll come back in my speech in the opening on that, and also Margaret Chandler address that. And the second issue is that there are people that say, oh, AIDS is just something like any other health problem and we don't need something special. Well, then show me any other disease that prevents you from going to New York for a day if you're not American. Even if that is now going to be over, but there are so many other countries where it's the same thing. When you are deported from the country, when you're revealed to be HIV positive, there is a brochure that will be in the conference bag that together with the International AIDS Society and the Global Fund and UNICEF about that, with information about the countries also. How can we
deal through health services that are very often homophobic, per se, with the needs, not only AIDS, but, you know, the health, gay health. That's, I don't see it. How would we have harm reduction programs injecting drug users? And I can go on and on. And then in countries that don't have a national health system or universal coverage, if we would so-called mainstream AIDS there, I know what will happen with antiretroviral therapy. It will just disappear. So I think it's just a non-issue, and of course what we see is that, as we saw also with the recent article by Laurie Garrett in the International Herald Tribune, saying that, you know, basically that we should not treat people and let people die, which she doesn't say, but that's what the implication is. These people have not understood that we've got a mind of our own, as Bob Marley said, and that is that we feel strongly that there is a right to life and there is a right to health. And then we see how to do that, and that we don't turn it around as, you know, where you have, you know, we have harm reduction, they are for demand reduction. It's demand reduction. And then controlling that, and then who's then going to decide? The few happy, the happy few will have access. Now, on the gay health agenda, I fully agree with you, but where is it addressed in the UN system? Nowhere, as far as I know. And that's a good point. I think that's something where it should, it really should be dealt with in WHO. And so it's something I will discuss with the Director General of WHO, Margaret Chan, who really is very open to all these issues and will spend several days with us here. But I think it would be good if you would contact our colleagues in WHO, because there are people who are open to this, definitely. Where it would be a problem is that if this has to go through the governance structures, then forget it. So it will have to have another technical input. On the, how do we as a UN system address this link with rights? And I would like to add a several the question also from our friend from Cameroon, which concrete steps are we taking? There is, on the one hand, and often led by Brazil, there are attempts in the Human Rights Council to put rights of sexual minorities on the agenda. And it has always failed. It is not even, it doesn't even get on the agenda to be voted about. Remember that in 2001, when we had the UN General Assembly special session on AIDS, that the first thing, when there were 45 heads of state and so on, that was quite a gather, and a really historical one when it comes to the history of the AIDS response, that the first thing that happened was a vote in the General Assembly whether the Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Center or University could participate as an observer in a round table. So pretty marginal, if you want. And we won the vote by one vote. One. And I think if that vote would be held today, I think we would lose it. Because as somebody said, I mean, there is also, there's been some regression there.
Thanks for listening to TheBody.com's podcast coverage of AIDS 2008. For much more coverage of this conference, including news, research, video, our photo journal, and, of course, more podcasts, visit us online at thebody.com/AIDS2008.